This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Iran, the suspect nuclear weapons program of these last decades, now presented again to the American public, and in the world is watching as the Biden administration expresses an interest in reawakening the JCPOA of 2015. But you can't go back. There are changes since then requiring, if there is to be a new bargain between Washington and Tehran, it will require some innovation. I note that most recently the head of the IAEA, that is the UN's watchdog on nuclear matters, the Non-Proliferation Treaty, has said, Rafael Grossi has said in an interview that his agency, the IAEA, is flying blind, that's the metaphor he used, due to not having a deal in place with Iran. He spoke very carefully that it is, quote, essential to have a deal with Iran, quote, because Iran has a very big, ambitious, sophisticated, developed nuclear program. I welcome Andrea Stricker of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. She is a specialist on nonproliferation, which is exactly what we're speaking of here. How can the IAEA administer the Non-Proliferation Treaty if it does not have protocols to permit it to inspect to its satisfaction? So, Andrea, a very good day to you. The Vienna conversations have been going on for some weeks. They're said not to be direct talks between Washington and Tehran, but indirect talks, a backstairs chatting or representation of what if and what now. At the same time, we have an ongoing presidential election in Iran, and we have turmoil throughout the Middle East, most recently the rocket attacks in Israel out of Hamas, associated in much reporting with Iran, with funding from Iran, direction from Iran. We also have two Iranian warships in the South Atlantic, perhaps headed for Venezuela, perhaps headed for the Mediterranean. In other words, I'm only illustrating that the JCPOA is not an isolated matter of dispute. There's dispute across the board. So can you help us first with what the status of the negotiations are in Vienna? And will these negotiations involve at some point more than just the suspect nuclear weapons program? I'm thinking of ballistic missiles such as Hamas. I'm thinking of aggression in the region such as Yemen and Syria. I'm thinking of aggression globally such as those two warships in the South Atlantic. Good day to you, Andrea.
Good day, John. Great to be here. So you gave a good rundown of what's going on with the Iran nuclear issue as well as the negotiations. I think they're doing well in Vienna for their goal of reconstituting the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or the 2015 nuclear deal called the JCPOA. So what's going on is the U.S. is sort of shuttling in between where the Iranians are speaking to the Europeans, and then the Europeans are going to speak to the U.S. and trying to broker this deal, narrow down differences on how you actually get back to the JCPOA. Several years have passed since President Trump withdrew in May 2018. Iran, in the meantime, has undertaken many technical advances to augment its nuclear program. It's producing 60% enriched uranium, technically known as highly enriched uranium, and it's a short step from making weapon-grade uranium for nuclear weapons. It's also deploying hundreds of advanced centrifuges. These are the machines that spin uranium, and they increase the purity to weapons grade, potentially. So a lot has happened since 2015 when we made the original deal. As you mentioned, Iran has become provocative, even with the JCPOA in place. And they have to grapple with the situation. It doesn't look like they will address other issues. The Biden administration had talked about bringing in a longer and stronger deal, maybe even broadening it to regional issues. Iran says no. So it's hard to see how that's ever going to happen.
What we have also are issues that have come up since 2015, that are not extraneous, but they seem to connect directly. I go to the April report in the BBC. A nuclear facility in Iran was hit by sabotage. That's a word in quote. A day after it unveiled new uranium enrichment equipment. The statement from Iran was this was a terrorist act. No one, to my knowledge, has taken credit for that, but I only mentioned the April incident because there's been a series of blows to what appears to be the suspect nuclear weapons program, including the targeted killing of the man leading the suspect nuclear weapons program. So is this part of the negotiation in Vienna that those sabotage incidents, so-called by the BBC, will cease, or is that a separate track entirely and that the IAEA can't possibly administer whether or not sabotage has taken place?
I think it's a separate track because the country involved is probably not at the negotiation. It's likely Israel's Mossad that is arranging the sabotage events. Their outgoing director, Yossi Cohen, basically took responsibility for some of this. So back in July 2020, there was an explosion at Iran's centrifuge assembly facility. And the estimates were at the time that it set back Iran's advanced centrifuge program by some 9 months. Iran quickly recovered. We don't know if it has all the inventory of centrifuges it used to have. But then in April of this year at the Natanz enrichment facility, there was another explosion in the electrical unit that powers the plant. We don't know how many centrifuges were destroyed, but it's our understanding that many were, and this would have set back Iran's ability to break out. What we call breakout is when you produce one amount of fissile material for a nuclear weapon. And then there's also been another major incident. In 2018, Israel seized files from the Tehran warehouse, and this actually was a documentation of Iran's pre-2003 effort to make nuclear weapons. So that was a major intelligence coup. Definitely shows that Israeli eyes are on Iran's nuclear program, and it's very well penetrated.
Well, the puzzle then, Andrea, is how does a new or reawakened JCPOA function in an environment in which at any moment Iran is going to experience setbacks in its nuclear weapons program that it's denying that it has? That's a puzzle here. This is a brain twister. Mr. Grossi says he's flying blind. I would say we're all flying blind. There can be no possible clarity, or has the Biden administration a new metric that we haven't heard of?
I think that's exactly right. So what Mr. Grossi, the IAEA Director General, is talking about is that Iran has reduced monitoring that the IAEA is able to undertake at its nuclear facilities. So Iran is actually sort of extorting the IAEA. It's holding all of the surveillance data that the UN nuclear watchdog accumulates by video, by online enrichment monitors, and it's saying that it will destroy this data. It has a new deadline of June 24th. If it doesn't receive sanctions relief, it's actually going to threaten to just erase all of this. So we won't know what's been going on at some of these nuclear facilities entirely over the past several months. And it is a good question. I mean, how does a nuclear deal premised on sort of peace and detente and restraint deal with sabotage that's no doubt going to continue to occur? I think Israel has made very clear that it will continue to take action against Iran's nuclear program.
At this moment, the question of proliferation, that's your area of expertise. Iran and a JCPOA, does that trigger a nuclear arms race in the Middle East? We have about a minute.
I think it may. We have Saudi Arabia that's already laying the basis to make the uranium fuel cycle. U.S. intelligence has been leaking to the media, saying that they are building secret sites potentially. These are unconfirmed reports, of course. But we also have Turkey saying, well, why don't we get to have nuclear weapons? And, you know, we have the United Arab Emirates that is under this gold standard where they say they won't enrich or reprocess plutonium for nuclear weapons. And, you know, how long will that hold? So I think if we don't deal with the Iran issue, there's no reason why their neighbors will not want to at least get to the same level that they are and at least be able to make nuclear weapons if they prefer.
Andrea Sterker for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a senior fellow, research fellow looking at nonproliferation, which is the very long word for the Iran deal, now under discussion through surrogates in Vienna. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.